What a privilege it is to be a part of the family of God and to meet together and to have the responsibility and joy of serving one another and being a part of a family like this. We are thankful for you and for the ministry and impact of this church. One of my friends came to me just before I came up and said he has lost his keys. So if you find a set of keys, please give them to one of our security members, or if you can find me, I'll be at the back. You can certainly give them to me, and we'll make sure he gets them back. What you believe shapes you. That's a true statement. Harder in our culture, because in our culture, we have managed to, at least in our own small understanding, shift from that statement. And we have this insane idea that we can believe something but not have it shape how we live. When in reality, if we say we believe something and it doesn't change us, it just proves that we don't really believe it. What you believe shapes how you live. You can see this in the lives of so many people, and it's important to notice. In fact, you can see it in your own life. What does your life show that you believe? I'm interacting with a good friend of mine who is in the valley of the shadow of death, and he shared with me yesterday his devotion to family and to God's family and the love he experiences and expresses. I think in every memorial service I've been a part of, maybe a stretch, but I'm going to say every because I can't think of any at this time that don't fit this. When we're faced with our mortality and eternal life, the things that matter at the core of who we are float to the surface. Almost always it's faith, and almost always it's family and church family and the legacy that we might have left. Often those things can get crowded out by other beliefs, beliefs of pursuit of security or significance or distractions and sin that threatens to destroy us. And so we want to begin a joyful and long journey through the book of John. Because John is written to shape what we believe, and if it shapes what we believe, then it will shape how we live. And if I could state it even stronger, I believe the book of John is one of those books that a child can wade into and be changed by, and an elephant can swim in and even drown in at its very depth. It's a book that is written, that's given to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to change what we believe. Or I suppose we could say, if we wanted to use the words of John, to help us believe in Jesus. Some people have said, well, that means that the book is for beginners, and that is true. It's a book to show people the greatness of Jesus, to walk through seven signs, and then to see with power seven stories, and to walk with him and experience his grace, his power, his splendor, and to delight in that and believe in him for the very first time for salvation. It is definitely for that, but that is not only what it is for. For every believer that I know needs to constantly realign what we believe with the Word of God and the God of the Word. And what we believe about Jesus is the most important thing about us, and perhaps John, more powerfully than any other book in the Bible, displays the Word, the Jesus, the one we are to cling to believe in, to delight in, and to experience joy because of his love for us. It's a book that will teach us to walk with the shepherd, to experience his sovereign love, to be angry at sin, and to delight in the Savior. I truly believe if you walk with us through this journey, and I'm clueless as to how long it might take, God willing, 3 years maybe, I don't know, but each verse, each passage, so rich and so tied to the overall theme and passion of this great apostle, that it can shape our lives, shape what we believe, and what we believe shapes how we live. John chapter 1 opens up in a very strange way, at least in comparison to the other Gospels. In fact, 92% of John is unique from the Synoptic Gospels, which have a lot of overlap. Some confusion, some reasons that people give. I think the main reason is that John is writing this great book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit from the church he is pastoring in Ephesus. He's there near the end of his life. In fact, I think this is the fourth last book in the New Testament to be written. And he's looking over everything that he's reading and hearing and perhaps even having these other gospels with him and saying, there's so much more that I want you to know. And obviously, because this was inspired by the Holy Spirit, so much more that God wants you to know about Jesus. Some argue, written to Jewish Christians, I think much broader. They argue because of its heavy weight in terms of dependence on the Old Testament. However, I think that every believer needs to be dependent on the Old Testament, the whole story of the Word of God and the greatness and glory of Jesus and who He is. This is a book that more clearly than any other displays the deity of Jesus. Oh, I suppose you could argue for Colossians, but in this book we start and stay and then repeatedly go back to the fact that Jesus is truly God. And if you want to have a faith that alters how you live and gives you a peace in the midst of any storm and a power to live for His glory in the midst of all that life brings, then you must know this Jesus. See, the faith that he's going to drive us to, and I hope to deepen in each of us, is not a faith in just someone's name, but actually understanding who they are and delighting in that person. In fact, I would argue even more important than belief here, at least as we in Canada understand it, is a drive to a deeper intimacy with Almighty God. A God who is transcendent, but who dwells tabernacles among us. A God who is so great beyond our understanding, who comes to be understood. And John, even in the prelude, is communicating these great realities to us. We will move quickly, at least it will feel quickly for me, through the first section. But again, I would encourage you, even as I have to encourage my own heart almost weekly as I spend time in this great book, it's written not to pick apart every verse, although there is great value in that. It's written to show us, big picture, to almost be read in one sitting, which again would be so difficult because there's so much, but the message that it's driving is a message that is made up of its parts, and so we want to constantly come back to and review the richness and importance of the overall passion of this great book that is seeking to cause us to deepen our faith in Jesus. I know this book, you probably know this, is pictured as the eagle in the Gospels. Perhaps that's another reason why I love it. And some people are saying, well, why? Why the eagle? And there are a number of different answers. My answer, which is not theologically given, it's just straight from my heart, is I think this book is one that is given to help us to wait on God and soar, and it comes from Isaiah chapter 40. Now, again, I will tell you, that's just my opinion. Others say because an eagle can fly and look into the sun as the eagle is flying, and this book is going to cause us to look into the glory of the sun and not be blinded, but be bent in his direction or deepen our faith. Not sure why, but I love the picture of this eagle from this old saint, 80 to 90, most people think somewhere in there, just before 1st to 3rd John and the book of Revelation. John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. I know you know that, but important to see. the logic of God, the center of God. That's what this Greek word means. Also the communication of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In other words, this Word, this Jesus, is eternal. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator of all things. Paul builds on this, creator and sustainer of all things. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life here, not only temporary. We're going to find John repeating this theme constantly, talking about this abundant life now, but also way more important in terms of our understanding of what he is trying to teach, eternal life, forgiveness, freedom. Even here, resurrection, as we'll get into in terms of John chapter 11. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We're going to find this contrast and persecution throughout this book. This Christ that will be presented by John was one he knew intimately, and one who divides. See, when truly known, Jesus is one you have to either accept or reject. An acceptance of Jesus means submission and literally a realignment of your life because you believe. Because at the very core of who you are, this communication from God shifts and changes everything else. In fact, what John is doing is he's picking and choosing. Here's what he says in chapter 20, verses 30 to 31, picking and choosing for this purpose. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the Supreme One, the center of the entire universe, and that by believing you may have life in His name. In His name here, not just the name Jesus, not just saying Yahweh saves, but knowing who He is, who God declares Him to be, knowing Him as the communication of God. When we truly know Him, believe in His name and trust in Him, not only does it give us this security of eternal life, but a radical reorienting of everything, what we feel, what we think, how we live, and really, ultimately, how holy we are. Set apart by God and for God, set apart to play a part in His creation. So this book, I believe, is, now I probably would say this about every book, but I believe one of the most powerful and important books in the entire Bible for the Canadian church. Because if we can grasp as children in its simplicity the beauty of this God-man, Jesus, and what He has done, and if we can start to plumb the depths of the oceans in terms of its incredible reality, it will change our lives. And what I love about the book of John is that it will change our lives if we don't know Jesus but are willing to consider Him, and it will change our lives if we're new believers or if we've been serving Jesus for 100 years. In fact, I wonder if this won't be one of the books we study in heaven as we see Jesus, the Word of God being eternal. Oh, study in a different way. The theme of the book introduced in these first few verses is the transcendence of God, His supremacy, the Son of God, but also His imminence. 1:14, we'll see, God willing, next Sunday, this incredible understanding of this one who is truly God becoming truly man, the love of God on display. And again, life-altering. It shatters what the people who think that only what happens on this earth matters, or that are deists who think that somehow God wound up the world and it just ticks down those who are selfish. This explodes all of that to allow us to worship with great joy this one true God. So I want to talk a little bit about these verses and then the passion for the overall series. In the beginning, from eternity, was the Word, the communication of God, the one we need to orient our lives around. He was with God, and the Word was God. This, an introduction to the Trinity. Not something we can fully understand, but something the Bible declares we must believe. One God who eternally exists as three persons. We'll find in the book of John not only Jesus here being so clearly declared as equal to the Father, but also, maybe more profoundly than any other book, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. He was in the beginning with God, eternity past. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. As creator, not only the one we praise in terms of understanding and seeing revealed in creation, but also the one who then can tell us why we are made. In fact, that being in many ways a reflection back on Jesus being declared as the Word, the communication, but also the one we're to orient our lives around. He is the creator. He gets to declare what the creation is for. He gets to tell me why I exist. Extremely significant in these first few verses, not only to declare his greatness, but also the right he has to declare his love and purpose for our lives. In him was life, literally in him, from him. And that life is light for men, light that is glorious and with all splendor because it displays who he is and it displays how we are to live. It changes everything and it literally gives us life, we're going to find as we study this, so that we can live in a way that brings honor and glory to him. This light shines in the darkness here not only of the world, but of our own hearts. Already driving towards the understanding of the need to be saved and that needs to impact our minds in terms of what we believe and then the overflow of that in this belief, this alignment with who he is and what he has done so that we live for his glory. It's so powerful, so good, so important, so simple. Jesus is real. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is truly God. Jesus brings light and Jesus brings life, and we need to believe in him or we will not experience those things. So simple. And yet, in the midst of the busyness and distractions of life, so difficult to actually act out upon and to send our roots so deep that we grasp with everything we feel, think, and do this reality in the midst of any storm or joy. So John will impact our lives. How, you ask? Well, I have three ways that I believe this book, if we truly walk through it together, not only in its entirety, but in each part, will impact us. The first is we will be a people who repent. I think the word repentance has been given a bad light in our current culture because for many it just means this hellfire and brimstone preaching, and I'm not arguing against that. I think there's a place to share the realities of heaven and hell and to call us to live in light of them. But by this, I just mean what the word actually means. This book is going to cause us to change our minds, and by changing our minds, it's going to cause us to change our lives. That's why it's written. And when the Holy Spirit inspires a book, when the Holy Spirit gives us a book, it will accomplish his purpose. It won't return void. And so if you walk with us through this book, even these first verses, there'll be a constant change of mind, alignment with who God is and what God has done. In fact, that's the whole point of this revelation. In the beginning was the Word. This is a communication to us, not only for our minds, but for our hearts and for our lives. And it comes to us in the Word. In other words, it's given to us to impact how we think. And that shifts, if it really truly engages us in the core of our beings, how we feel. And that shifts then how we live. And there's going to be a constant realignment as we hold the mirror of the Word of God, inspired by the God of the Word, in such a way that we see who he is, see what he has done, and then allow that filter to dominate everything else. I think when we see the supremacy of Jesus in all things, it will cause us to live in him and for him in the power of the Holy Spirit in new and fresh and delightful ways. Oh, I love this book. In fact, I believe if you would look at the Pauline language of 2 Corinthians 5, this new creation language, the pathway to that new creation being lived out is a sight of the glorious Jesus, and this book displays him powerfully. To see his love and to live in light of that love, even when sometimes we don't feel it or experience it in the world we're in, and then to drive that love so deeply, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the Spirit, bringing it to our minds and hearts and being so much that even when everyone around us has lost hope or is in the depth of depravity or despair, we will rejoice and live in an abundant life and have hope in the midst of, in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, John 14. This book will show us that Jesus demands and deserves supremacy in all things. It will show us that God has a purpose for everything that happens to us. It will call us to live in light of that purpose and to experience from that passion and peace and his power, and to live in such a way that everybody around us will look at us and go, man, that just doesn't make sense from a fleshly perspective. What's the reason for the hope you have in you? And we'll point to Jesus and the gospel. I love the story that Charles Spurgeon told. He told the story of Augustine. Augustine was struggling and found victory. He had lived a horrible life. His mom had been praying and praying for him, and he came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He heard miraculously take and read, and he read, and he discovered from the Word of God, the God of the Word, and that grace overwhelmed him. And in the life he had lived that was filled with sin and debauchery, he had taken advantage of a number of different women. One of those women, one day when he was walking, now loyal to Jesus, saw him and invited him back into her life and the life of sin. Augustine. Augustine. It is me, Augustine. And he did not answer, and so she ran after him. Augustine, Augustine, it is me, Augustine. And he turned to her and he said, but it is not I. The old Augustine is dead, and I am a new creature in Christ. I love the story, not just because Spurgeon tells it, but I love the story because the book of John will allow us to look back at our lives if we journey together faithfully and say, I'm becoming more like Jesus. I'm moving in my alignment of my mind and my heart and my life in such a way that I will know him more and experience his grace so much more richly. And it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. If you want to use Galatians 2:20 language or Galatians 4:19 language, Christ formed in me. So John will take us and cause us to reorient our lives around Jesus. That's the whole point of verse 1. To repent, or to constantly take what we believe, what we think, what we feel, measure it with who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, and then align with Jesus, trust in Jesus, not our flesh or who we think we are or the world tells us we are. That's a huge promise. And it's true as God uses his word. Repent. Secondly, or this reorientation. Secondly, the book of John will teach us to relinquish. This is a word that means giving up something. And I think when we come to words like repent, which is a positive negative word, this realignment, kind of a Romans 12, 1 and 2, not thinking like the world, but thinking like the word. Now, relinquish. We're going to give up things. Well, what are we going to give up? And I love this because, again, in comparison, and Jesus does this consistently, what we discover is we give up everything, but we gain way more. In the book of John, in John 1 verse 12, and again, God willing, we'll come to this soon and reorient around it, and it's our memory verse this month, and encourage you to memorize it and cherish it in your heart, but what we give up is everything. We come to the cross and we die to self. We give up everything, but we are given then the right to become what? children of God. That supersedes everything else. I do not think you can understand your Bibles unless you understand this. And John is going to take us there repeatedly. You are treasured. You are valued. God is real. God is relevant. And God is relational. And the life that you live will be difficult. And in the midst of those difficulties, if you don't understand this, this giving up of rights, then you will be bitter and broken and fighting. But when you understand the privilege of being a child of God, J.I. Packer calls this the greatest privilege in the Christian life. If you want to know how deep someone's understanding of the gospel is, according to J.I. Packer, just understand what he makes of being called a child of God, a son of God, a right we're given by God in Christ. Now, here's what I want us to understand. As we study this, we notice that Christ suffered. John's going to use the gospel as a model. Peter does this as well, of a pathway for us to walk in. We too will suffer. And if we don't understand this relinquishing right from square one, as Luke would call it, if we don't understand that we've been called to deny ourselves, take up our crosses and follow Jesus, then the Christian life as God defines it, not as culture or the prosperity gospel defines it, but as God defines it, will be a massive disappointment. But when we understand the glory of what Jesus has done for us, of believing in his name, when we understand the greatness and splendor of the privilege of being called a child of God, then we will happily open our hands for everything else and we'll say, here I am. I'm yours. Use me however you want. Use every circumstance in my life to bring honor and praise to you. Now that is an impossible call unless, in the power of the Spirit, you see Jesus the Messiah. You believe in his name, because then everything that happens to us becomes a privilege. Or as Luke would also say, we just say, oh, Lord, we're just at the end of the day unworthy servants made worthy by you. What a privilege. What a responsibility. My life is yours. Use my life however you choose, every circumstance, to point people to you and to teach me the glory of your greatness, to conform me to your image and to accomplish what you desire. Boy, do we need this as Canadians. See, in Canada, we're taught that what you feel is true. We need to repent, realign our minds and lives with the Word. We're also taught that we have rights, and we should squish and be angry with anyone and everyone who steps on those rights. Fight back. If you watched the Canucks game last night, the very end, that's good Canadians. Well, a little too much stick and a little too little fist, but good Canadians. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we surrender to the one who is sovereign over all. We relinquish everything about us. Our entire identity dies and then is found in the life and light of Jesus. John does this. Many of the New Testament authors do this as well. But John does this foundationally. He's going to say, here is Jesus. Here's what Jesus is doing. Here's the cost, but here is the benefit. And oh, the glory of living and serving Jesus and the delight we can have that everything in our lives matters as we point to him. We're going to learn this. I hope we know this intellectually, but I pray and hope that the book of John in the power of the Spirit will drive this so richly home that we'll be different. And that leads me to the last place in John. And I think again, well, hear this as one who is studying it and just loving it. Not only a repentance and a relinquishing, a realignment of our minds and a relinquishing of everything but the right to be called a child of God and to live for his glory, there'll also be a rejoicing. See, this life that we're called to is not a boring life. John 10, verse 10, we're going to discover is really a center point as we see what's going on in John 1 to 11 and the signs and the miracles and the pointing of who Jesus is and the display of this. And then this idea that, listen, this life he's calling us to that is found in Christ is an abundant life both now and for eternity. And the things that cause you joy on earth will grow so strangely dim to the things that will now cause you joy on earth that can't be stolen from you. See, there might be things right now that give you joy. I could give you a list of mine. Some you'd say are so surface, some are deep. But I will tell you this. Those all, at least if I'm talking from the flesh, can be stolen from me if something goes wrong on the surface. If my team loses. If someone I treasure is hurting. If the church is struggling, I could give you all sorts of different things that cause me joy on earth, right and wrong, surface and deep. And I would say to you this, when we grasp what the book of John is going to teach us about Jesus, the Savior of John, the Lord of John, then we will discover that there is nothing and no one that can steal our joy. Oh, I understand we're going to have to drive this deeper because, first of all, we're swimming in the river of the culture, but also because we still have this war going on in our minds and hearts and lives and struggle with sin. But here's the awesome thing. The life of repentance and relinquishing that God calls us to is an awesome life, filled with his love and his life and his light, and it is filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. And John is going to grab us by the shoulders and pick us up and fix our eyes on Jesus and lift our chins and say, he is worthy. And then we'll say with great joy, oh God, what a privilege to be your child, your servant. What a privilege to be wholly set apart by you and for you and to live my life to the praise of your glorious grace. What a privilege to be a part of your family. I know that we're going to need the Word of God to get there. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus is the Word? And isn't it wonderful that we have the Bible that will display to us this great communication and reorienting person so that we can live in this way? I'm so excited for my own life and my own heart as I get to go deep and then seek to the very best of my ability in the power of the Spirit, my prayer and I hope yours, to communicate this to you and then to gather, reflect and repent and reorient and rejoice. This is a gospel that will take us from eternity past to eternity future. This is a gospel that will show us who Jesus is, truly God, truly man, that will walk us through a life that is lived pointing to himself, that will show us that he declares himself to be Yahweh, the great I Am, 23 times 7, with direct reference to the Old Testament. This is a gospel that will show us that in love he became truly human and he suffers. And then not only the suffering that we can align with and understand, but this gospel will show us that this truly God, truly man, Jesus, the Messiah, willingly and as a servant, goes to the cross. And on the cross, takes upon himself the payment for our sin. And when we believe in him, when, as John will say, he calls us to himself, when we respond in faith, we can be forgiven. We will be forgiven. We are forgiven. and then placed on mission for him as those who are like him. I hope that you will read this book with us and ahead of us, and that you'll get excited and say, I can't wait till you get to John 4. I'm so excited to get to John 10. I remember a sermon on John 11. John 13 is so powerful. Should we wash one another's feet? I can't wait till we get to John 14 and talk about mansions and rooms. I can't wait till we get to John 15 and see what it means to abide. I can't wait till we get to John 16 and talk about the Holy Spirit in 17 and 18 and 19. I can't wait. But I'm so excited, God willing, that we can take this journey together. Reflecting on the Word and the real Word, the revelation of God in Jesus, and truly repenting, realigning, and rejoicing. So I'd ask that you would check your faith. Not check it at the door, but check it in your heart. And deepen it today and on this journey. I would ask that you make sure that your faith in God is not only for the gospel, but for all of life. And if it's not, that we pray together that God would deepen our faith, open the eyes of our hearts, and that we would charge forward with great joy to be who he wants us to be and to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. And as we read these starting verses, hear that it's not just about Jesus, although it definitely is. It's a call for us to believe in this Jesus. And this means, according to verses 1 to 5, I would argue according to the whole Bible, to reorient our entire lives around the supremacy of Jesus in all things. He's worth it. It's a lifetime journey. But John is going to cause us to run faster and deeper if we come with open hands and open hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the book of John. Thank you for Jesus sending him into this world. And we long to see you transcendent and imminent. We long to know the one who tabernacled among us. And we long to be those who see this glory. And because we see him, see you, Father, in the fullness of your Spirit. God, give me wisdom in choosing what to focus on and give us joy in seeing you more clearly. Help us, please, to accomplish what you desire from this book, that we might be those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. And may that life and that light not only give us freedom and full devotion, but impact this community of faith, others that we are around and the communities we live in, that we might be to the praise of your glorious grace. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name and for your supremacy we pray. Amen.